Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Catholic News, read by Chris Mihalik. The source of our program is DenverCatholic.org. Out of This World, Good Shepherd Catholic School Project goes viral, prepared by the Denver Catholic staff. One local Catholic school student is getting attention for her Out of This World science project. Alice Hoyt, a 9-year-old student at Good Shepherd Catholic School in Denver, got creative with her assignment and created a planetary display with Barbie dolls. Each doll was dressed with outfits Hayes created herself and represented each of the planets in our solar system. Hayes' mom posted a video of the creative project to TikTok in a now viral post with more than 1 million views. Responses have poured in, praising the elementary school students' Out of This World thinking, with replies from NASA, Barbie, Coach, American Girls Dolls, the Girl Scouts of America, and American Eagle. Hayes has been excited over the project's reception. The project is a true melding of young Hayes' interests, expressing her love for both space and her participation in Cinderella pageants. It seems like the first annual Miss Solar System pageant, as Mom Hayes dubbed it, was a huge success. Catholic Charity Shelter Manager's Prayer Life, featured by Denverite, by Denver Catholic staff. It's not every day that one's prayer life and ministry makes the news. Such was the case for Joshua Zielinski, Associate Director of Family Services at Samaritan House Denver's Family Homeless Shelter, was recently featured in a piece by a Denverite. The Catholic Charities of Denver employee emphasized the difficulty of the work, with profound need everywhere he looks, need that his team and he often cannot meet fully. Even amid the challenge, Zielinski finds solace in prayer and knows that his work matters to God, to his children, and to the community. Thy will be done, Zielinski prays, looking to God for the guidance, strength, and grace to make a difference. Take the work of my hands today and the mistakes I make, remedy them. Take the good that I do, augment it, and let it be. He approaches the vital frontline work with humility, seeking to do what he can in the face of great demand for support and services and other real challenges to his ministry. Even amid serious challenges, it is clear that Zielinski and his ministry matter to God's mission here and now. Complementing his practical service, his prayer for all those he encounters and serves each day lifts up those around him to God and entrusts them to the Father who loves them more than they can imagine. "I am so distracted," Zielinski told Denverite. "I am not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. If I'm doing one thing right, I'm just forcing myself to do it, forcing myself to bring myself to that space, knowing that faith in God will fill in the rest." Through shadowing Zielinski for a day in the life of a frontline worker, father, husband, and faith-filled individual, Denverite got a front row seat to his inspiring story. Carlo Acutis to be first millennial saint. Pope Francis recognizes miracle for canonization by Courtney Mayers of the Catholic News Agency. Pope Francis has recognized a miracle attributed to the intercession of Blessed Carlo Acutis, paving the way for him to become the first millennial saint. The Italian computer coding teenager who died of cancer in 2006 is known for his great devotion to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. The recognition of the second miracle attributed to Acutis' intercession makes it possible that Acutis could be canonized during the Catholic Church's 2025 Jubilee year. In a decree on May 23rd, Pope Francis approved the miraculous healing of a 21-year-old girl from Costa Rica named Valeria Valverde, who was near death after seriously injuring her head in a bicycle accident while studying in Florence in 2022. After the girl underwent an emergency craniotomy to reduce intracranial pressure, the family was told that her situation was very critical and that she could die at any moment. according to the Vatican Dicastery for the Causes of Saints. 6 days after the incident, Valeria's mother went on a pilgrimage to Assisi to pray for healing of her daughter at the tomb of Blessed Carlo Acutis, leaving a written note. On that same day, Valeria began to breathe on her own, and on the following day, she recovered the use of her upper limbs and partly recovered her speech. Valeria was discharged from the intensive care unit 10 days after her mother's pilgrimage and underwent further tests that showed that the hemorrhagic right temporal cortical contusion in her brain had completely disappeared. Contrary to medical predictions, Valeria spent only 1 week in physical therapy, and on September 2, 2022, 2 months after her accident, she went on a pilgrimage to Carlo Acutis' tomb in Assisi with her mother to celebrate her complete healing. The first millennial saint, born in 1991, Acutis is the first millennial to be beatified by the Catholic Church. Shortly after his first communion at the age of 7, Carlo told his mother, "To always be united to Jesus, this is my life plan." To accomplish this, Carlo sought to attend daily Mass as often as possible at the parish church across the street from his elementary school in Milan. Carlo called the Eucharist my highway to heaven, and he did all in his power to make this presence known. His witness inspired his own parents to return to practicing the Catholic faith and his Hindu au pair to convert and be baptized. Carlo was a tech-savvy kid who loved computers, animals, and video games. His spiritual director has recalled that Carlo was convinced that the evidence of Eucharistic miracles could be persuasive in helping people to realize that Jesus is present at every Mass. Over the course of 2.5 years, Carlo worked with his family to put together an exhibition on the Eucharistic miracles that premiered in 2005 during the Year of the Eucharist, proclaimed by Pope John Paul II, and has since gone on to be displayed at thousands of parishes on 5 continents. Many of Carlo's classmates, friends, and family members have testified how he brought them closer to God. Carlo was a very open person and was not shy to speak with his classmates and anyone he met about the things that he loved: the Mass, the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and heaven. He is remembered for saying, "People who place themselves before the sun get a tan. People who place themselves before the Eucharist become saints." Carlo died at age of 15 in 2006, shortly after being diagnosed with leukemia. Before he died, Carlo told his mother, "I offer all of my suffering to the Lord for the Pope and for the Church in order not to go to purgatory, but to go straight to heaven." Thousands of people visited Carlo's tomb in Assisi following his beatification in the Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi on October 10, 2020. Archbishop Domenico Sorrentino of Assisi, who is currently in Rome for a meeting of the Italian Bishops' Conference, welcomed the news that Acutis will be canonized. "The church in Assisi is in celebration," he said. "I plan to arrive in Assisi this evening to thank the Lord in a Eucharistic celebration, but as of now, I join the faithful who are in the shrine for a prayer of praise. May the Lord continue his work through the witness of Blessed Carlo. May he obtain for us from the Lord the grace to love him as he loved him, especially in the Holy Eucharist." Happiness and its effect on your business, by Paul Winkler. As the leader of your business, you create the blueprint of its culture by the behavior you exhibit in front of your employees, customers, vendors, and stakeholders. Your relative happiness shapes your behavior. The primary driver of happiness is the basic human desire to seek pleasure and avoid pain. So happiness can be defined as the fulfillment of our desires that bring us pleasure, and unhappiness comes from our unfulfilled desires. Our pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding heart influences all the choices we make in life, such as our relationships, our goals, how we work with others, how we judge ourselves and others, our compassion and empathy, and how we determine how we determine whether we are successful or not, we tend to lump all the experiences that give us pleasure into that single word, happiness. Most people would describe eating a pizza, gaining a new customer at work, or getting married as happy occasions. The same word, happy, describes a range of experiences from superficial to deeply profound. Finding True Happiness by Father Robert Spitzer details four levels of happiness. The first level of happiness is derived from physical pleasures and material possessions. It is short-lived and intense, like having a thick steak, a glass of red wine, and a good cigar, to quote G.K. Chesterton. However, suppose a person allows level one happiness to become an end to itself, such as having steak night after night. In that case, it can ultimately lead to destructive behaviors while trying to achieve the same intense happiness as the first streak. Likewise, a level one work culture typically emphasizes short-term rewards such as bonuses, perks, and material incentives. While these can motivate employees in the short term, they create a transactional mindset driven by what employees can get from the company. This can result in high turnover rates and low loyalty, as employees may move on to other opportunities offering better perks or even just 25 cents more per hour from the company down the road. The second level of happiness is found in the esteem and acclaim given to you by your peers and team members. The downside is that it can lead to jealousy or envy of others' accomplishments or a fear of failure when you compare yourself to others' lives. Level 2 work culture emphasizes personal achievement, promotions, titles, and competitiveness among teammates. This can drive high performance, but also foster an unhealthy level of competition, unneeded stress, and, at worst, a cutthroat and toxic environment. Employees in this environment might feel pressure to outperform their peers, leading to burnout, a lack of collaboration, and esprit de corps, and perhaps even a breakdown in ethical behavior to stay on top of the quotas. The third level of happiness is derived from contributing to others' success and making a positive difference in the world. We are hardwired to make a difference to somebody outside of ourselves. When a business embraces a level 3 culture, amazing things happen. The focus changes from the individual to the well-being and development of the team. The level 3 culture encourages employees to find meaning in their work by contributing to their colleagues' success and the common good. Lastly, level 4 happiness is quite rare in the business world. This is the highest level of happiness achieved through seeking and experiencing ultimate truth, love, goodness, beauty, and being. This level is associated with spiritual fulfillment and a connection with the transcendent, expressed for Catholic business leaders as contemplative relationship with God. A business culture that strives for level 4 happiness encourages employees to seek a more profound sense of meaning and purpose through their work, which is aligned with the company's mission. Companies operating at this level have a solid ethical foundation based on Catholic social teaching. This can lead to profound job satisfaction, a strong sense of community, and long-term organizational success. Level 4 businesses prioritize creating value for all stakeholders, including employees, customers, suppliers, and the community. Level 4 leaders lead with integrity, empathy, and authenticity, empowering employees and inspiring them to reach their full potential. Each of us pursues the 4 levels of happiness at any given time. Level 1 desires such as great steak are acceptable, as is achievement in level 2 if they help you professionally. However, we can easily drive into the ditch if we make these an end to themselves, living solely for that steak or some achievement. The opposite of level 1 or 2 happiness, level 3 happiness, comes from the desire to make a positive difference in someone's life or in the world. Level 4 happiness is the desire for perfect truth, love, goodness, beauty, and God Himself, which is then expressed in the workplace. Just remember that only one level of happiness will dominate you, and whatever happiness level is dominant within you will ultimately shape the culture of the organization you lead. Have a summer that's totally yours, Marie O'Neill. As summer quickly approaches, youth programming throughout the Archdiocese of Denver will soon be in full swing. Among the many options for youth programming is TOTUS Choose, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Denver. The program's name comes from St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary. The traditional Latin phrase, which means totally yours, was popularized in recent history by St. Paul II, who took it as his papal motto. TOTUS Tuus is addressed to the Blessed Mother and signifies the faithful's deep devotion to Mary, even to the point of praying to belong to her completely. Later this month, more than 20 young missionaries will gather at Annunciation Heights, the Archdiocese camp, for a week of training before being sent out in teams to parishes all over the Archdiocese to run programs for children from grades 1 through 12. I am excited to be part of what God is planning to do in and through this year's TOTUS Tuus missionary teaching team, which is comprised of a dynamic group of young adults, including seminarians, net missionaries, and others actively discerning religious life. Karen Middleton, family ministry specialist for the Archdiocese of Denver, who is overseeing the TOTUS Tuus in addition to other family faith formation initiatives, told the Denver Catholic, since its beginning in the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas, the program has spread to a number of dioceses, said Father Daniel Chiucci, pastor of Most Precious Blood Parish in Denver, who himself served as a TOTUS Tuus missionary when he was in seminary. It's characterized by dynamic and orthodox teaching and witnessing to the faith to first through sixth grades by day from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and seventh through 12th grades by night on Sunday night to Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m., he continued. Ultimately, the program's goal is to give youth the opportunity to have a personal encounter with Jesus while engaging with the teachings of the church. This, in alignment with the Archdiocesan commitment to foster personal encounters with Jesus, TOTUS Tuus pairs engaging catechesis and relational ministry with children and youth, Middleton said. To that end, more than 20 college students and seminarians will undergo training to learn how to evangelize youth and run the programs. During training and throughout the summer, they will have time for prayer, community, and ministry. Undergraduates are formed into teams of four, including seminarians, and they get sent out two by two. So they're in teams of four. There are two guys and two girls, and they go to seven different parishes throughout the summer teaching the same program, said Father Chiucci. The program is broken up into two parts, the first on the Holy Rosary and the second on the Catechism, Father Chiucci explained. One part of the program is focused on one of the mysteries of the Rosary. Every day, the children learn about one mystery of the Rosary, as well as pray that mystery on the Rosary. The rest of the program is one of the pillars of the Catechism. So sometimes it's prayers, sometimes it's salvation history, sometimes it's the sacraments, he said. Made up of four 20-minute classes throughout the day, the TOTUS Tuus program is punctuated by formation and fun with games, skits, and activities peppered in for youth participants. It's a time for TOTUS Tuus to be loud and vivacious, so I think it's something that's just very beautiful, Father Chiucci continued. The engaging missionary-led program has brought great fruit over the years, with the teachers benefiting profoundly from their time on mission. Ultimately, I think one of the biggest parts of the fruitfulness of TOTUS Tuus is the teachers. Teachers are invested in training and community life, and then they're bid to go out to these parishes to give what they've received. And it's precisely in the giving that they end up receiving more, Father Chiucci said. Of the many fruits of TOTUS Tuus over the years, Father Chiuchi pointed to the vocations that have been born through the program. It's a very formative experience that has given birth to vocations of the priesthood and religious life, and the intentional undertaking of holy matrimony. It's just been such a positive wave of encouragement, a powerful wave of encouragement in our archdiocese, he concluded. Mullen High School robotics team Lance Spot and World Championship by Marie O'Neill. As technology becomes more and more present in our daily lives, many are deepening their understanding of the ever-evolving technological landscape. One group of Mullen High School students has been doing just that, spending the past year learning how to build and program their own robots. Their efforts came to fruition when they qualified to compete in the first Tech Challenge, FTC, an international youth robotics competition that celebrates the science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, community. From April 17th through the 20th, high school students from all over the world gathered to compete at the first technological challenge at the George R. Brown Convention Center in downtown Houston, Texas. With the help of their alliance partners, Bay Robotics from Wisconsin and Iterative Intentions from California, Mullen won the Jamison division, earning them a coveted invitation to compete in the Final Four. Although their alliance narrowly lost in the semifinals, Mullen's performance greatly surpassed all expectations and demonstrated that they had undoubtedly built and programmed one of the best robots at the tournament. Mullen High School students Brady Jr., Tom Jr., JT sophomore, Ben sophomore, Hadley Jr., Hui sophomore, Grace sophomore, and Jacob freshman attended the FTC championship along with their parents. Lisa Bohr, mother of freshman team member Jacob, expressed her gratitude for the Mullen High Robotics Program. "I am personally very grateful for the Mullen High School to allow the robotics program to exist. My son was very excited to participate in this program even since before he started at Mullen." Bohr shared that robotics doesn't just teach technical skills, but essential life skills as well. "Robotics is more than just building robots and coding," she continued. "The program at Mullen has given my son the possibility to keep developing lifelong skills like teamwork, social skills, leadership, problem solving and professionalism, healthy competition, logical thinking, creativity, confidence, interaction with technology, and responsibility. The program is even enhancing his college's applications." When asked to describe the experience, Bohr said, "The experience of going to the international competition, first championship in Houston, Texas, was unforgettable. I had the unique pleasure to witness a group of Mullen High School students from different grades performing and behaving as true professionals, overcoming challenges, engaging with others from all over the world, working together as one unit, and collaborating with each other. I could not express in words the pride I feel for each and every member of this wonderful robotics team," she concluded. In upcoming events, Intercessors of the Trinity. Join Deacon Brian Kirby with the Intercessors of the Trinity every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. for praise and worship, teaching, and prayer. Learn healing through the power of prayer to help you overcome spiritual, emotional, physical blocks that may keep you from walking through the life with peace, joy, and hope. Intercessors of the Trinity will take place on May 28, 2024 at 7 p.m. at 13416 West Arbor Place in Littleton. Thank you for joining us for Catholic News, read by Chris Mihalik.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303 303- 786-7777.